The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, are we? Are we going?
Yeah.
Oh,
we are.
Oh, we've been going. Oh, classic.
Did you do an audio check or no?
I just need you.
Oh, testing. This morning for breakfast, I ate ass.
We should be good to go.
Okay.
Whose ass?
Oh, my own ass.
Aunt Jemima's.
Welcome to this very special episode of the Save the Third podcast.
Very special. We have everyone kept asking for someone in particular. They kept saying, Nigel, we want to see Nigel. And so here it is.
You're Nigel.
We finally got Nigel.
Hey guys,
can you do a Nigel?
Do you know Nigel who Nile Rett is? The chemistry channel.
Nile Rett, I've seen some videos. Yeah.
So that's
He is Nigel.
Yeah.
Right?
He's also Nigel.
But yeah. You're Nigel, and yeah. Nobody clarified.
Yeah. Yeah, but clearly you couldn't get him on.
No. So no.
Like and for our audio listeners, it definitely is Nigel. Yeah. This is Nile Rett sitting right next to me. Can you do a Nile impression?
I can't do it. Okay. I barely watch his videos.
Me
you know.
Too.
So yeah. Today, what I have here is a chunk of
it's a little more tungsten. Nasal, I think. Today.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Today.
Where is he based? England?
Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Yeah.
The other day, I was looking at this thing, and it made me horny.
I could turn this toothpaste into
it was 2 liters of
vodka.
Chocolate milk.
What I have here is just a normal thing, but actually, it's my asshole.
Turning my asshole into calamari.
Yeah, I have no clue what's happening here.
That's okay.
That's part of the vibe.
You're trapped in here with us.
You have
just an hour. Have you seen this podcast before?
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes. You guys just talk, you know.
Your YouTube channel. Uh-huh. What would you call yourself? Are you a YouTuber? I feel like you are one of the people that is able to kind of squirt out a little bit beyond the YouTube realm.
Oh, do I?
I think so.
Transcended.
Like, I think you've kind of got your shit together and you're able to do
Mr. Rogers, yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Roger.
Uncle Roger.
Well, Mr.
Rogers,
Mr. Rogers
copyrighted by that guy with the cardigan.
Roger,
you know?
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, but Mr., we're being formal here.
Yeah. Mr. Uncle Rogers.
Thanks. Yeah.
Uncle Roger is significant, though. In Asia, that's how we call all our people older than us, you know, relatives or not.
Uncle right. First name?
Uncle first name. Uncle
like it
first
can be
name.
Like a random person too, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just like, you know,
wow.
The, yeah.
It's a sign of like respect, you
uncle,
know?
Uncle? And like aunt.
Yeah, like
auntie.
You go to a restaurant, the person who serves you says, oh, thank you, uncle.
Uncle chef?
Yeah, no, we just say uncle
just
sometimes.
Uncle.
Chef. Yeah,
if you don't know his name, just don't put the his job after it.
That's so weird. You know? Actually call...
Uncle janitor?
But...
Say thank you, uncle. You know, that's how we show respect, at least in Malaysia.
But you also use uncle as uncle,
yeah.
As in like your parents' brother.
Yes, yes.
But also, because that's
we
so...
We call everyone uncles or aunties.
How long is that? That's just always been a thing? Or do you have
that's
any...
Well, we say bro. Yeah. We're like, thanks, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah not to
yeah.
The chef,
bro.
Though. Bro's exactly. Not a sign
well,
of
no,
respect.
I do. I say bro
cool.
To the chef.
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah. Yeah,
thanks, bro.
It's
thanks,
like casual. Bro. Like, you're chill with the chef.
So it's kind of like that. Kind of the same vibe.
Oh, bro. Really?
Yeah. So in Malaysia, you know, say Uncle Roger. People get it. People don't ask, why are you an uncle? People just get it. People go,
I know India does that, too. Like, India...
Yeah. Yeah.
Something...
Nope.
A lot
I've heard of it.
Countries.
I've heard of it before. Okay, yeah.
As for breaking out of the YouTube thing, I feel like I started out doing stand-up, you know? So that was my bread and butter.
Okay.
I always, you know, I started doing stand-up in 2011. Always had a day job and did stand-up on the side until I got decent enough at stand-up and I got paid enough to, you know, make a living. And then I quit my day job, went full-time stand-up. That was September 2019. 6 months before COVID hit, which was a terrible time to go full time, you know, just right. I joke about it in my set. I say, right when the guy's about to eat that first bat,
that's when I
went full time stand up. Terrible idea. So I would call myself a comedian, I guess, because everything I do, no matter what the platform is comedy, right? I go on tour, I do stand up, I do the Uncle Roger stuff, I do food videos, all that stuff.
What did you do? Wow. before comedy? Yeah, what job did you quit?
I was a tech. I worked in tech. I was
really?
The classic Asian. I was a data scientist.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah. But you guys are like more hard science people. I hated the labs, man.
So what did you do?
Lab stuff in,
I hated
university.
Everything else except the labs.
Really?
Yeah. I liked the lab. I did like the work that you had to do like during the lab. I liked doing the thing, though.
Yeah. I did. We had to take a few like chemistry classes with lab work involved. And yeah, it's nice. You just see the colors change in the test tubes, you know.
And you didn't like that? You didn't like the doing of the things?
Yeah, I do, but I always liked... I like the coding more. It's building apps, non-physical things. But now as I get older and I own a I have a little place I own, I bought and I want to renovate. Yeah, now I feel like, fuck, I should have been better at the DIY stuff, you know, how to use a saw or some shit.
No, it clearly made the right choice.
Yeah.
Look at us. Look at this set. I think you could have built this yourself or you could have been successful like the way you are.
Every time I look at the set, I think, I've made every decision right.
It's like a nice, nice setting, you know?
I regret nothing.
We got an LED light back there.
Yeah.
It's nice. On the drive here, I had no idea where it was. You know?
Yeah.
You know, for the listeners back home, we are in what?
Middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. We don't want to give away what city because there's like 10 houses here.
They don't
know where you live. Exactly.
We're in Reno, Nevada. Yeah.
We had to make the dumpster bigger on the inside. We crawl into this dumpster every day.
If you just film outside your house, it'll look like a dumpster. Yeah. Exactly. Already. You did it easy.
Oh, man.
Nigel pulls up and I'm like, desperately trying to pull because we just rearranged the garbage today because I don't know if we said that we had real garbage in here at one point and I found rat poop and I was like no let's get rid of the real garbage.
Well, you texted me. I woke up this morning. I was like, oh, are we still good for 2 p.m and you said yes, and then you said, oh, the doorbell isn't working, so just doorbell's broken, just drive in. That's red flag number one. And then William sent an image to me, a photo to me of a Google image satellite view.
The red arrow I drew on my phone.
Yeah, a red arrow. He drew us a red arrow to point me where to go. And then put the image as B-roll on this podcast. It's like, it's a middle of fucking nowhere. It looked like a trash dumping site.
How many
like
cars were parked?
A lot of
so
cars
many,
here.
So many cars.
And that
drove
Google
here.
Image
I shared
was old.
I shared my location with my girlfriend. Because I'm like, just in case,
just
honey.
Just in case.
I have no clue.
No, that's smart. That's right? Smart.
I'm on WhatsApp too, so I'm like 8 hours. You know, share the image for 8 hours.
So I said the doorbell is broken, but the truth is it's never worked.
You said a doorbell is broken, not the entire house, not the entire neighborhood.
It was broken at some point, just not.
No, I put it up there, and I never set it up. So,
well, the gate button's broken.
Oh, my dad hit that with his car, and it knocked
it. Oh, that's why. I was wondering why that was.
It's probably on the ground somewhere still. It didn't really.
You're so handy, you should just fix it, you know?
That's the thing, is there's too many things to fix, and so none of it. It's like only some stuff gets fixed.
And that happens, man. You got a kid, too.
Yeah, there's too many projects.
I get it. Hey, I'm just happy to be here, not that I know I'm not going to get murdered.
You know? There's still time.
Yeah, we still have plenty of time in this podcast. Who knows how it ends?
Yeah.
Plenty of space in those shipping containers.
I think there's too much merch in this house for me to get murdered. You know what I mean? It feels legit now. Yeah, I see the merch. You don't want to, even if you want to kill me, my blood's going to splatter all
over
it.
Too much value.
Yeah, it's too much value.
On the set. You can't have blood on the set walls.
Yeah, you got one light and a C stand, you know?
The reason that you even connected with Will was because William tried to make
pad thai.
Dollar store pad thai.
He made a really bad pad thai.
I mean,
hey,
it was I think his techniques were good, but it's just the nature of the video. You had to use dollar store ingredients, right? You had to walk. You knew the basics. You knew what it's supposed to
taste
like.
Well, now you're being nice about it.
Yes. I'm basking in these compliments.
I'm not in character. Not in character. So the character gets a bit more leeway to shit on people, you know?
I think he was upset. I don't think he'd admit it, but he was like, this is bullshit. This is good. This is good, Pat. I'm a good chef.
It was shitty pad thai.
I'll say a tamarind is good. At least you knew, you know? So in the video when you said you worked at a Thai restaurant before, I believed it.
Yeah.
Me and my uncle character believed it.
That's where I learned that Thai iced tea is really bad for you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you don't have to work at a Thai restaurant to know.
Why? It tastes amazing. How can it be bad for you?
I don't know what I thought when I realized how it was made. It's just like sugar water, and then the restaurant I worked at used half and half. I remember one time too, I was making one, you know, which is consists of putting, as you fill it up with ice, right? Because when you fill it up with ice and you have to use less, it goes longer.
Yeah.
And then I poured the half and half in and it came out like yogurt. It was all chunky. And I was like, I can't do that.
Oh, wow. Which Thai restaurant is his name? So we all don't go there.
Well, I did throw it away and then I opened a new thing. It was Lum Ka Nad in Northridge.
Lum Ka Nad in Northridge. Yeah. Okay, listeners, don't go there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We still get food from there, don't we?
Yeah. We've been there a couple of times.
Alan, we went there, didn't we, one time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It was great.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. Because they have the northern Thailand and the southern Thai menu.
No, that's so a different one.
In the same restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you know it's shit.
There's a good one. There's a place I like. Yeah. That one's called Sir Siam or something. That one's in the, I don't know, what would you call that area?
405. It's not Van Nuys, right? Is it Van Nuys-ish?
What's your go-to Thai food in LA?
Oh, there's so many. There's a Thai town there, right?
Thai town?
Where did I just eat recently? Ruin pear.
Which
is good. Yeah. And there's another one. I forget the name now. I'm not going to pull it up.
What do you get?
Ruin pear. Ruin pear was more like, I think it was more southern Thai. I don't remember now. That was a couple weeks ago. I went to one 2 days ago where I got northern Thai. They only do northern Thai. I got a lab and I got a khao soi.
I love two of my favorite. Yeah, shit, man. With the crunchy and
yeah. I was just in Chiang Mai this December, January, and at the start of this year, Chiang Mai, Northern Thailand, and the khao soi every day, man.
Really?
What is that?
It's like a noodle dish.
Okay.
With the broth, and the broth is a curry based broth.
It's kind of like yellow curry.
Okay. Yeah. Like a coconut curry kind of thing, or just
I think so.
Yeah, not too coconutty, but there's coconut in it. And then there's noodles. There's a whole chicken leg on the bone.
Oh,
that's super tender. And then there's crispy fried noodles on top as well.
Yeah, I think that is my favorite one.
Yeah, it's good shit. It's good shit. So we
keep saying that Peter is gonna like set us up with his relatives so we can do a trip.
Go to Thailand.
There.
Have you been to Thailand?
Yeah, many times.
Just there, right?
I was just there. Yeah,
How's the Thai food there compared to Thai food?
Thai food in LA, I think, is pretty good, but of course, there's no comparison. Thailand is much
better.
Is it
like twice as good, or is it like?
Oh yeah, what level here?
How far would you drive for real Thai food?
How far do I drive?
Would you drive an hour if you could go to actual Thailand food versus like American Thai food?
Oh, would I drive an hour if I got actual
Thai food? Is it worth
an
hour of driving?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But I would say LA Thai food, the standard is pretty high already.
Okay.
It's just sometimes they make it a little sweeter than Thai food in Thailand. I don't know. Just something about
that's a big US thing. Everything in the US is sweeter. Mm-hmm. Everything in the US is like, I think especially because like the margin, it's so hard to have good margins on like food and restaurants. So it's like everything's going to be like a little less,
a little saltier, a little salt,
like
more oil.
Yeah,
like
just
like
sweet. MSG.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
You got to have MSG.
Yeah. I have a game theory that part of the reason that like generally food could be better overseas just because it's like it's easier to have sort of like a better profit margin.
You know, food in New Zealand was great.
Yeah,
we were just in New Zealand, and the food was good. And I was thinking like when you're kind of trapped in a place because like New Zealand is like it's big but it's still small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like about the size of the East Coast of the U.S. Apparently,
I feel like the food has to be better. Like the competition, like I don't know. There's something like
I feel like it's all local. I think it's because the food is grown.
Think of a macro micro version of like imagine you send a bunch of people to like a base on Antarctica, right? Like scientists, and they're stuck in this tiny little thing, and then you give them shitty food.
They quickly kill all of the bad chefs. Like,
they're gonna go crazy.
It's like Darwinism.
Like if you're gonna put people in a thing where they sort of there's like less stuff or whatever, it's like you kind of the food has to be better, and I don't know what it is, but I feel like in New Zealand the competition for selling food is so high that like they had to make the food good
because it's smaller.
I don't think it's Kevin's point, man. I think the ingredients are fresher. They just picked the leaves from the mountains that day, and the goat just came down and got slaughtered. Yeah.
There's a lot of goat dishes,
but you can still make shitty food with good ingredients.
Yeah. Lamb.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they're stuck on an island. They have nothing to live for.
Yeah, I have to go.
Please make it delicious.
Like
please,
so much time.
New Zealand
on their
is like it's one city,
time.
And then the rest of it is farmland. Like it's amazing how much of that island is just a farm.
Yeah, I've toured there. Yeah. I was in what's the only city?
Auckland.
Auckland.
Yeah. The one you can fly into.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful place, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They film Lord of the Rings there.
Lord of the Rings.
That's the only thing I know about New Zealand.
That their whole economy is based on Lord of the Rings.
It's probably Lord of the Rings based economy. Like whole digit percentages, maybe even double digit percentages. I think so.
Well, we were talking a couple months ago, and you were saying when you go back to Malaysia, because you're from Malaysia, that you're like a celebrity.
What's that like being a celebrity, like a actual famous person?
Like people go crazy, right?
We only get that experience at Open Sauce. So that's about 2 days out of the year.
Yeah, it's like that. Everybody knows you, but it can get a little in Malaysia. People. I don't know, man. In LA, even if they recognize me,
they
don't give a shit because, you know, it's LA, right? They saw Keanu Reeves the day before, you know? And so in Malaysia.
That's way better.
I'm A-lister. But we all have our. Were you about to do Elijah Woods bumping into Elijah Woods? It wasn't even that one. I bumped into Patty Jenkins in a unisex bathroom once.
I have no idea who that is.
The director of Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, she probably would have been really excited if you recognized her.
It was weird because it was at the YouTube studio, actually. So you know how it was like all gender bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was like she was walking out after just washing her hands. I was going in to take a nasty dump.
Oh my god, nice to meet you. I'm about to take a nasty dump.
Yeah, so in LA they're used to seeing celebrities all the time, you know. But in Malaysia we don't really have too many people on the world stage. And the ones we do have, like Michelle Yeoh, she's Malaysian. But she's so established now that she has like 20 bodyguards at all times. She never really goes out in public.
That's
I'm still at the level where I'm too poor to have that.
Only
two
bodyguards.
No bodyguard. I can't afford it.
I just go to the gym.
I have to work out myself and just always be prepared, you know?
Can you imagine having two bodyguards and that still being like a tenth of the number of bodyguards as Michelle Yeoh?
But Michelle has been like a legend, man. You know, she's been huge since the 80s. In Hong Kong and Hong Kong films and stuff. She's like a legend. We love her. We all love her. You know. So
you're like the second most famous person in Malaysia.
Second.
I think we have Ronnie Chang too. The Daily.
Are you
show
in the top 10? You think?
I think I'm in the. Yeah, I think I'm
Whoa!
In the top 10. Yeah, but what does that even mean? Top 10 most famous.
That's great.
Malaysia. Gets you on safety third.
Yeah.
Wait, how many people live in?
I drove here myself. I didn't even have a driver. You know, that's my level of success.
How many people live in Malaysia?
How many
What's the population?
40 million, maybe?
40 million?
Yeah.
That's like...
Whoa.
Don't fact check that. Wait. We have a producer.
Yeah.
Is he your Jamie? Is he the...
Jamie, pull that up.
It's his first day, though, What's his name? This is Cord.
Cord.
What's up, Cord?
Extension Cord.
Listeners. Yeah. Can listeners see him? Can viewers see him?
No.
He has a ponytail.
Well, you're close.
Yeah.
33.5 million.
I would not have guessed that. Holy shit.
Almost... Everybody in Malaysia is subscribed to Mark Rober.
Yeah.
Wait.
That's how he did it.
He's number one. He's
how
number
big
one.
Is Malaysia? Is it like...
Where is Malaysia?
Dude, I don't know. You didn't ask me to prepare about trivia about my own country.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm
not going
to
look,
better.
But I think it's... it's
127,000 miles like Thailand, squared. Thailand. How big is the U.S.?
I think we need like a comparison.
No, no.
Malaysia overlaid on the U.S.
South of that little peninsula by Vietnam. It's like southwest, I think.
Southwest of Vietnam?
Yeah,
possibly.
Malaysia. Oh, okay. Wow. So it's like several states.
Dude. That's like shit. That's like California. It looks kind of like.
Oh,
it looks
no,
like
I
just
was so
about
wrong.
California,
it's
maybe
like
and more than California.
I thought it was a country, not like
how big.
An island.
A little bit bigger than California.
Maybe the landmass of California is like 110,000 square miles.
That's like New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
Well, oh, is that the size of New Zealand?
Yeah.
It's smaller than California.
Oh,
wait,
weird.
Malaysia has like literally the same population density as California.
Huh.
That's okay. That's kind of a good reference.
There you go.
I feel like I know how big Malaysia is.
Do your listeners want this? Want to know about this?
Why not?
Is this going to be cut out from the...
We make them listen to all of this. Yeah. We have to.
We have no idea why people
Anything you say they
to
have
this.
To listen to.
Really? Oh, no.
They're trapped in here with you.
Sometimes we talk about electricity. Sometimes we talk about Epstein's Island. Sometimes we talk about a game that we play with the dog and peanut butter sometimes.
Put this in the Patreon. Put this in the Patreon.
People listen to that.
You guys have a Patreon?
Yeah, that's where all the...
Yeah, now that you mention it, we do have a Patreon.
Yeah. If you want to hear more Jeffrey Epstein stuff, listen.
Yeah, all we got 35 days of Jeffrey Epstein content. Yeah. An MP3 file you download is 35 days long of us just talking about.
Maybe we
Jeffrey
can use
Epstein
the Patreon money to get a mail order bride.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, and then and then they could be the producer.
How does that? How
did, that'd be great.
I would say somebody please just marry me. I don't want to do this anymore.
With the Russian war, it's probably a lot more difficult now.
Like, the mail order bride has always been kind of like more of like a meme to me. Like, but yeah. It's kind of a, is it?
I think it's a meme because it is
sort of real?
A real thing, or was it some point?
It was at point a real thing. Nowadays, it still happens, but it's not like mail order anymore, right? Mm. It's more they call it
it's
what
the
they call it
now.
the traveling bros. What there's a term for it?
Like they fly there.
Yeah, they fly there. Then they just American, usually white guys fly over there to date like the local Thai or Indonesian women, Filipina women. Passport bros. They call it passport bros.
Passport bros.
Yeah, because...
Passport bros.
So, like, they have a girlfriend over there, or they just, like...
No, they go there to get... To bring them back to get married
stuff.
Oh, okay. You know, people look down on them, but I always feel like it's good, you know? You're giving the women a better life, and people in Thailand would love to live in the U.S. because, you know, just to be sincere for a second, you know, even here, if you do, like, okay here, life is still so much better than rural Thailand where people are struggling. So we should encourage that behavior, you know,
because we were just watching,
I mean, everybody knows what's going on in that,
some,
you know,
video
it's like
clip
he wants to go over
like
there
he
wants a girlfriend and she wants
that
to,
video we were just
exactly,
watching
she wants to, you know,
wait, do you
like
know what
move
called?
To yeah. a bit,
I don't
you
know? I don't know, it was just on the screen already.
Yeah, this happens a lot. Usually they'll put like this conversation in 1 year and that conversation in the other year,
China or rural,
or they'll make them do circles like around all the speakers,
things like. Like it looks nice. Rural Asia looks kind of, we were just watching a like a video from some streamer or some
there's this Chinese channel where this woman like runs a farm.
Yes, and I know what you're talking about.
I have
like
never seen
Chinese,
anything
like
this
life. Yeah, yeah.
It looks like a soap opera. Like I don't
but you're growing vegetables and
turnips.
If you're saying that's
like,
not what it's like?
No, they just picked the hand picked the best thing. Right? Yeah, the best shot, but you don't see the... But, and you know, a lot of them, they say, oh, the passport bros, and it goes into a very red pill Andrew Tate type place, you know, because
that's our favorite place.
Western women are too entitled, and then they're too educated, they want
I need a submissive Asian girl.
And like, they're not 100% wrong, you know? I'm dating a Western woman.
How is
and
this our worst fucking podcast? How is this of all
no,
our podcasts?
I think the Epstein one was worse.
Yep. There's not, you can't, you really can't get worse than that.
So they like, you
it better
you, like,
be released. I don't want to come all the way here for nothing. You know, you better release
it. No,
this
it will. Yeah, it will. Don't you worry.
Yeah, everything goes out.
Yeah. Okay. It has to. We don't have a buffer.
So. So it's a real thing. You like go there. Well, okay. I do know somebody who actually did this in the opposite direction.
They came over. They came from Asia to America.
No, it was American. fuck, I don't know.
What can you say?
It was just. It was like a female in the States and a male from somewhere else.
Okay. Okay.
And they made them like the U.S. was like very aggressive with
it. Yes.
Yeah. And they had to put. I think it was like $80,000 or something down,
like an escrow or something.
It was like an escrow
they had to get
it.
The green card.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll interview you. They'll put the husband and wife in separate rooms, and the interview would happen. Uh-huh. At the same time, and they'll ask a question like, because you live together, right? They want to test if the marriage is real. So they'll ask like, oh, if you were standing in your kitchen facing the sink, where is your microwave?
Wait, what the fuck?
That kind of thing, yeah.
I would get those wrong no matter what. Yeah. That's
how
like
many buttons does your microwave
have? Like, I don't know. That's
I don't know. 50. Ah, fuck.
Wait, how many buttons do you think a average microwave has? How many buttons does your microwave have?
I don't use a microwave, man. Oh, can I bitch about the American microwave
situation?
Yes. Why is it always above the fucking stove?
A lot of them have the vent built in, so I think it's cheaper.
Just build, buy a vent.
Why? What else should go up there?
Nothing. It should just be open. You can hang pots and pans
there,
right?
Where should the microwave go? Yeah.
Hide them in a drawer or something. Nobody needs to see that you can't cook. You know,
every kitchen has a microwave, though.
Yeah, in my London place, I hide it in the cabinet.
Yeah.
So you just open it, you cook it, or you build it in, or you hide it. Don't put it on the countertop too. But above the stove is so annoying. Yeah. If you're cooking soup, the steam like flies up. And then the microwave heats up, you can't even open it.
In my London place, I don't have a microwave. I don't have a place in London. So there's no microwave there.
Sorry.
Where? Okay. What do you cook in the microwave? Why do you have a microwave?
Some dishes. So when I'm in London, I have a friend who runs a ramen shop, and he sends out ramen meal kits. So broth and little frozen broth. Cool. You just heat them up. Not the broth, but like the little sauces. You heat them in the microwave. It goes quicker.
Yeah.
And then you mix them all together.
So that's like the noodles are like pre-cooked, right? And you like just warm them up.
No, noodles you cook from scratch.
They cook fast.
It's a tare. The tare and the aroma oils, all this stuff. You can microwave it. But everybody uses a microwave, man. Who are you kidding, you know?
Yeah.
Pizza in the fridge.
Microwaves are great.
They're great. I like them. I just don't like them being above the stove.
I agree.
It just looks so ratchet, you know?
I've never heard that take before, but...
How many...
Do you guys have a microwave? Do you have a microwave?
I do. Guess where it is.
Above the stove.
It's very American. I agree.
I agree with Nigel. Because it's kind of tall.
Yeah.
It's like a little too high.
It's dangerous. You open it, the soup just sloshes out,
like,
you know?
It's fine for me because I'm tall, but like if you, like a kid or something trying to get above a microwave, like above the stove to a microwave, like they would have to get a step stool. Like, it is stupid.
Yeah, it annoys me. But how many buttons? I think microwaves have too many buttons.
How many do you think they have?
There's numbers.
Yeah, but how many buttons do you think a microwave has?
I don't know, like 25.
30. Are you about to find a microwave and
microwave?
William is going to get a microwave, and we're going to count the numbers live right now of how many buttons there are on a microwave. Because we've talked about this so many times of how like a microwave should ideally have one button.
Yeah, plus like, 30 seconds.
That's literally the only button you ever really need.
Yeah.
Because beep, 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 beep. Even like the defrost button is kind of bullshit on a microwave.
Yeah, look at this.
We've got a very typical microwave here.
Standard American microwave.
How many buttons is on this sucker?
This one's got...
Okay.
Wow, this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 25.
Oh, I guess 25 is...
Plus 25.
I think mine at home has like over 30 buttons.
Over 30. I said 30 as a meme guess. I didn't actually think it'd be that close.
How many does your London apartment microwave have, Will?
When I go to London, I live under a bridge.
No, California is better. I really enjoy my time here. You know?
Oh, nobody was arguing that.
Don't go to London, please. It's a declining empire.
Is it?
Yeah, we hear so much. They colonize a lot of places.
Yeah,
right?
We broke free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you broke free.
Yeah,
our shackles are.
And now
no
you
more.
Go to London, you're like. You took all of our shit for this?
Yeah.
You know? Why is it still so shit still? You stole all our money for what?
That's actually probably the most offensive thing. It's like taking everything and then doing nothing awesome with it.
Yeah. Say, bro, you know, I want my
shit
back.
Where's everything? Where's all the cool treasures?
Where's all the spices?
Yeah, the spices.
The flavor, nothing.
I was just in Dubai and they broke free of the British too.
Mm-hmm. And now they're crushing it.
Yeah, my Dubai microwave was so nice.
How many buttons were on your Dubai microwave?
I think it had like three.
What?
Oh,
yeah. No fucking
kidding. It was like a dial.
I think in Dubai, you don't even need a microwave.
A
you can just hire some little like a worker to this microwave.
Yeah,
shit
yeah.
For you. Well, I don't think you have to hire them.
Yeah, I think you can just tell them to do it and somehow.
Snap your fingers. Hey,
I don't know what the word for that is when they do the work and you don't have to pay them.
Awesome.
They do it for free and they sleep there.
Epic.
And it's not. I can't really. It's not coming to mind.
They're French. They're friends.
They're friends.
No, no. Friends.
Friends.
Just my little hotel friend. I say, hey.
Hotel friend. Hey, hotel friend. Can you cook this up for me real quick?
This is your very own hotel friend.
I'm not going to give you money, but can you do this work for me, please?
Just assuming the hotel pays them.
God, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. I think that we take a lot of things for granted living in the States that you are much shittier in other places. Like, what's the worst place in the States? Like they're sort of
definitely
like,
in the South, like Mississippi or something. Just like objectively.
And how much better is that than a lot of the worst places in some other countries?
I guess probably still probably pretty better. What's the worst place that you've ever traveled to, Nigel?
Why would I go there, you know?
But I mean, an accident, because there must be a worst. There's a list in your head somewhere. There must be a worst.
Yeah, maybe. I guess if it's in the U.S., Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah, it got a little bit. But that's downtown, though. I'm sure there are some nice suburbs around the
L.A.
area.
Downtown is pretty bad.
Yeah. Most American downtowns are pretty grim.
They all have, that one street.
Yeah.
Like, L.A. has it.
Skid Row.
And then you got, Tenderloin in San Francisco.
That was an intentional city design choice. Like, Skid Row, happened because
of the train or something?
No, it was specifically designed. There are city dynamics that were planned for exactly we're gonna have homeless people. Where are they gonna end up?
Right.
And it was actually city planning partially considered this is where they're gonna probably end up. Just because,
is that because they put services there for the homeless people to help them?
Yeah. Mm. I think that there was services. I swear to God, it had something to do with a train a long time ago, too. Mm. There was a route that ended there, and that's where a lot of services ended up. And then people just tend to kind of.
Because I have noticed where they have those Salvation Army centers, there's always a bunch of homeless people sitting just right outside.
Yeah, it's not 100% organic. There is some actual intent that goes into that.
Sometimes you drive past those areas and you see they're having a good time, though.
They are. They're all sitting out there.
Sometimes.
Dude, they're barbecuing out there with their friends.
I'm not saying all of them. Some of them probably have started with mental health illnesses. Right. But some of them, they're just dancing.
Good vibes.
Tuesday, 2 p.m. and I'm rushing home to take a meeting. I'm man, they're having a good time.
I wish I was really insane.
It's a simple life.
It is a simple life.
I actually really want to talk about
the American version of that Chinese channel would homeless people grilling under an overpass in L.A.
So Alan, we've talked about it before, has sort of, I don't know.
A little bit.
I would say more like
bougie homeless.
What do you call the guys who have the sack? They have a stick with a sack,
a
type
bindle,
like a cartoon,
a hobo,
the hobo. Yeah.
I wouldn't say you were homeless.
No.
You were also you were doing a cross country adventure.
A hitchhiking hobo.
Weren't doing it in the way that most people do it.
How old were you when you did this?
22.
Okay, that's about the cutoff point where it's still appropriate, you know?
I think it may have gone as far as 24. There were spurts. it happened in spurts.
You call it backpacking when you're still in your early 20s.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What do you call it if it goes past that?
Or you're couch surfing afterwards.
Yeah. I feel like you were in control of it, though.
For the most part. Because I could have just gone back to Illinois. I had parents. It was
I could quit any time. I could go back to Illinois anytime I wanted.
I feel like I'm not sure if you
I want to be on the road.
If it was an adventure or if you were if it was kind of a fuck you to the world or if you were trying to hurt yourself.
I think it was probably all of that, honestly. It was just, what do you do when you're fucking in your early 20s and you work in as a defense contractor and you're no, you know what, fuck this. You live in a yurt in one of your friend's backyard for a few months and then you hitchhike across America.
Quarter life crisis.
That's probably what it was.
Which defense contractor? Lockheed?
SAIC. I think they're called Leidos now. You can actually, I'm pretty sure, see some of their equipment's in airports now. I think that detects bombs.
The anal logic.
I was in the GPS wing of SAIC when I was 22.
Wow.
And so it wasn't even serious killing people stuff, but we'd still get
you just find the people.
Yeah, just to find the people to kill. But there's the protesters that would come to the building, how do you think they figure out how to get to the building? GPS.
You use my invention. Right?
It's they not realize
they actually guaranteed did not realize that.
That was invented for the military and then it became a commercial.
Where
do
their screens come from? I feel like we've ranted about this. LCDs, I'm pretty sure. I think a lot of the stuff you take for granted nowadays came out of military budgets.
Yeah, that's why I'm pro war.
So right.
It just makes life better for everyone. The internet was a military thing.
I love
wasn't
the military industrial complex.
I think it's hard to deny that that war does great things for countries' economies.
I think it you really have to be on the right side of it. I think war is really good if you're on
if
bigger,
you're
better side. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably less good if you're on the smaller side that has the oil or resources or whatever.
We stand with Palestine. Moving on.
Oh! You know, we've joked so often about trying to take a stand one way or the other, and the joke has always just been, even bringing it up is going to just
You can't
so,
cut that if you... you
know. Like, no, so we're going to keep it, and we'll just make sure everyone leave the comments for Nigel over whether or not he's right or wrong.
Right.
And just remember that we didn't say anything about it. Other
my
than
opinion
Epstein's
is
Island,
the same as your opinion.
We, you know, I'm a comic, so don't take any advice I say.
There
seriously.
We go.
We say
you
that all the time, and they still do. One time we told people to go ask for a raise, and then some of them did, and they got raises.
Oh, nice. How many got fired?
No one said if they got fired or not.
Okay.
No.
They're probably just going to
show up and let us know.
Yeah. They probably stopped contributing to the Patreon, I think, if they got fired.
So I thought it'd be fun to talk about some of your food adventures during your...
When I was... Can I
have some context of this trip first? Where did you go from where to where?
So there at one point I hitchhiked from Los Angeles to New York.
Wow.
I had a backpack, and I think what I took with me was like I don't know why. It was a big jar of peanut butter.
A dog.
Calorie dense.
Well, we started with a live dog and then it turned into a not so live dog.
Some inside jokes here.
There was some
it's not
a
joke.
Make a dog, you put peanut butter in.
I feel like you covered this before in the podcast.
Yeah.
We only obliquely. We never really say what we're talking about because we don't have to.
It's the easiest way to get a dog to swallow pills.
Exactly. So, I think there was like some... Oh, like a bag of like dried mangoes. Yeah, I think I was literally just going for calories. And I hitchhiked with a road atlas. I had a big road atlas because I didn't have a smartphone at the time. Right. So it was literally like one of those giant like fold-out maps of the entire country.
You just get on that one interstate and you just go. Just go, drive 2,500 miles.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Once you're out like in the west to Midwest part, once you're past like there's a line that basically Chicago
like the Mississippi River.
Yeah. Once you're past there, it becomes a fucking nightmare to get anywhere.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, because if you even look at the density of roads on the map, like there's not a lot of roads to get from here to basically the middle of the country. From the middle of the country to New York, there's a shit tons of way to go.
It kind of is like
there's like three ways to get across. To go west.
From here to there, it's very easy.
It's like sort of an artifact of how the U.S. was kind of created, like how it expanded.
Oh, right, like everything on the east side first.
It was like first, like so it was like everything was local because there was no transportation, and then all of a sudden it was like, get the fuck straight to the west coast. And so it was as quickly as possible to get to the west coast, and then it's still dense, but not anywhere near as dense on the west coast.
Because the problem is when you're hitchhiking, like, ideally, you get a ride that goes like as far as possible. So when you're going east, it's really easy because like if you catch a car coming out of Los Angeles, they're basically just going to Vegas even past that. Mm-hmm. If you catch a car like
leaving Vegas,
it's still pretty easy. Yeah. But then once you're like trying to get to New York and you're in like fucking Pennsylvania, it's like you could flag down a car and they could be going basically anywhere. And you're like, oh, Jesus.
This is the widest shit I've heard. This is just
really?
Like, yeah.
You know the funny part is he had a car the whole time.
What?
Oh, so I had a car. Man. Yeah, I wasn't just trying to get to New York. It was for like two hitchhike. I used a service called, I think it was called like Relay Wheels or something. They're dead now.
Hitchhikers killed them.
So the company, like, they take over cars. So he literally hoarded his car out. They like put stuff on it so that people with an app can like tap into the car and rent the car.
So
he left his car in LA.
Oh.
And people are driving it around.
People rented my car while I was hitchhiking, and I think over the whole trip I actually might have broken even because I made like a few hundred dollars from renting the car out.
I thought you meant it was like an Uber for hitchhikers kind of thing.
No. Yeah. Well, that defeats the entire purpose then.
Yeah. So what if
you just use Uber?
What did you learn on this whole trip? Your food adventures. Yeah, we need to get to that.
I did learn that for starters, if it's raining and you really need a place to sleep outside, the display sheds outside of a Home Depot are pretty good.
Because
they're watertight, they're typically unlocked. Even in LA, I was actually checking it out the other day.
They don't
like,
take them inside.
They've got latches, but they don't have padlocks on them. So it's like, if you really
What's
have
the worst
to,
that happens? Some guy sleeping in it?
Exactly.
But if you're walking on the highway, where are you going to find a Home Depot? By the highway?
Oh, no. So the rule for hitch... There's a couple of rules for hitchhiking, but like one of them is like you...
Don't rule one, don't hitchhike.
on a highway on ramp, there's typically in the States a sign that says like nobody's allowed to stand here. And that's where you want to stand because someone else has already done the work of finding the most visible place of the on ramp to put that sign. So you stand by the sign and then you stick your thumb out and no one gives a shit about the sign, but you already know like, oh, this is where everyone sees.
Did anyone drop you off next to what, like one of those like prison stretches where it says do not pick up hitchhikers?
That would have been funny.
Like, get out, and you're like, no.
I was dropped off at some shitty places because that the second rule of hitchhiking is don't ever let the driver pick where to drop you off because they think they know what a good spot is, and it's almost always horrendous.
Did you feel like scared at all? Was there any danger?
No, there was some really fucking terrifying times. There's this truck stop in particular where like this guy kept offering me a ride because I was kind of stranded. And there was just something wrong with him. I couldn't tell you what it was. But it was just, he had some kind of fucking vibe.
It's like reverse hitchhiker. Like,
Because it was I was stuck in that truck stop for like a whole day, which is like forever when you're hitchhiking, when you're stuck somewhere for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. I think being stuck at a truck stop for anything longer than 20 minutes probably feels like forever.
And so I eventually caved. I was like, you know what? Yeah, like take me as far as you can go.
Do whatever you want with me. I don't care.
And so, well, because it's like, there's only so long because there's a security guard that goes like around he does rounds. You have to like stay one step ahead of him. And there's like one area where you can kind of maybe sleep. And it's like this area in the back where the truckers like have just like
TCM, throw their piss bottles,
like the old timey TV show channels playing all the time with just a bunch of office chairs and kind of sleep in there. Yeah. And so I finally like went to this guy and I was like, you know what? Fucking fine. Let's go. And so he's like, okay, cool. I got to make a call really quick. And so I was sitting in his car and he left to make a call for who knows what. And I looked in the back seat and it was just filled with clothes. Just like piles and piles of clothes. And I like the thought came to my mind, like, these are the clothes of the people this guy kills. This guy kills a bunch of people. And he puts their clothes in the back of his car. And so before he came back, I got out of his car. And then that's the only time I did just walk down the highway. I was so fed up with the whole thing. I was like, you know what? I would rather walk like 5 miles to wherever the next like ramp or truck stop is than stay here.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
And then, you know what? Scary. Less than a mile down the road, fucking 18-wheeler pulled to the side of the road to pick me up. So it actually turned out really well.
Were you like
well.
Hitchhiking or are they just like...
I was just walking.
Okay.
And the guy pulled over.
I think that's the best because they don't feel like you're trying to get them to pick you up maybe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I always fucking forget this part. The whole time I was dressed like Ash Ketchum from Pokemon.
That sounds like you fucking made it up.
No, so I thought that it would encourage people to pick me up because it was sort of like a fucking reference, and it did help.
That's actually insane.
A lot of people. So
what? Can people recognize that? You just look like an Asian guy with a cap.
Well, but a specific cap. It turned out people didn't recognize me because
it's too
they
far
were
to see usually that
like you're pretty big for a 10-year-old.
They said that the way I dressed it made them feel comfortable and it was very bright colored because I was dressed like a cartoon character. So it did turn out kind of being good that way, but sort of like part of that time in my life I did live in like a yurt, which is like a Mongolian traveling tent, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the meals I had in there was, I called it the Allen Pan peanut butter sandwich.
Oh,
and so what it was, you know, 40, like a malt liquor.
40.
Yeah, so a 40-ounce and a jar of peanut butter. And I called that the Allen Pan peanut butter sandwich.
You have the carbs and you have the peanut butter.
I think you need 2 40s for that to be a sandwich, Alan.
Can you really wash down a whole jar of peanut butter with 1 40?
Not the entire jar, but it goes a long way. Okay. So it was you would just eat a spoonful of
just
peanut butter and then you just drink the 40 and then...
That would give you diarrhea for sure, right?
I don't remember having diarrhea from that.
Okay, what's the worst thing you ate on your road trip?
I think in totality...
Apart from that, the 40, the sandwich, what, peanut butter?
I think at one point I ate like a can of sweet corn and an old breadstick from Domino's together. Ooh. Like that was the meal, was an old Domino's breadstick and a can of sweet corn.
For dipping sauce?
Basically, corn juice. Actually, I think basically it wasn't hot either. It was just It was just a can of sweet corn, room temperature.
Why'd you do this to yourself? life is hard, man.
What's your worst?
I wanted to I don't know, do something hard. I wanted to do something hard.
What's your worst food experience?
Worst food experience. Let me have a thing. But before we get there, this is the kind of you know when you say we take for granted a lot of things in America. Like, this is the prime example. You actually have to try so hard and go out of your way to live like someone from rural poverty-stricken Asia. Yeah. But it's cool here to do that shit.
It's a very it's very comfortable, privileged position where you have to intentionally do all of that to like get that experience, to sleep in a Home Depot display shed.
Yes. Man, the guy with the truck and the clothes, that sounds like some murderer.
That's some
shit,
Team
man.
Rocket shit. He was going to get you.
I was
Ash Ketchum. Yeah. So my Pikachu is about to get kidnapped.
who was that murderer with the cool glasses?
He was going to take a Pikachu.
Yeah, they did a show up.
The big guy?
Yeah, the blonde guy,
gay guy. Jeffrey Dahmer?
Dahmer. Yeah. You might have run into one of those.
Yeah. I mean,
wouldn't be here.
Possibly.
Today,
but the thing is, they were also like very, very kind, nice people also. There was one of the truckers. He was a fucking Mormon, so I don't know if I didn't do the math in my head.
I would definitely
first.
Trust a Mormon truck driver.
Well, here's the problem.
They seem pretty chill.
They don't do caffeine.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we did an overnight route, and it was fucking bonkers.
Was he like falling asleep at the wheel?
Yes. So, but I was falling asleep too because it was also like I was also like not having a good time, and so I was like I actually like we started just chewing on my fucking dried mangoes to try and stay asleep, and I just kept asking him questions about Mormonism. So. Because he would get really passionate about it and kind of keep him up.
He's like, finally, I'm going to convert somebody.
But like
this is the one time he doesn't want to talk.
The you know the alarm that goes off when the truck starts going? That, like every so often, he like, and then like we both kind of fucking wake up. And then he fucking actually brought me back to his house so I could sleep like on his couch.
Oh, that's nice.
And when he got there, I found out it was him and his wife's 10-year anniversary that day. And he brings back this fucking homeless person.
Homeless Ash Ketchum.
Ash Ketchum to sleep on his couch. It's okay. He didn't know who Ash Ketchum was. So
was it like
fine.
A sex thing, you think?
No, they were just very, very... He offered me one of those post-death baptisms that Mormons can do, which is a very nice gesture.
Post-death baptism.
They do that. They can do that.
Let me just do it now so in case we slide off the road because we're sleeping. We got it covered. Yeah. You go to heaven.
If I keep driving with you, maybe I'll take you up on the offer.
It was bizarre. I forget exactly what the situation was. He wasn't normally a trucker for this company, but like for some reason he drew the fucking short straw and he had to, but like he had to make this route overnight with no caffeine, zero caffeine, because he's Mormon.
Wow.
It was bizarre, but he was very nice.
I feel
like stay awake
like truckers. Sorry.
Oh, here we go.
There's definitely something a little bit wrong with everyone who becomes a trucker. No, I don't say. I'm not saying it's
a nice,
bad
honest
thing.
Job, man.
No, I'm just saying like
they have to deliver my building materials to my house. You know, my little couch.
To
and
sit
stuff.
In a truck, driving for like what 10, 12 hours a day.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, somebody got to do it.
You get
and
to
the
see
stories
the
you hear of people at truck stops and stuff. I think that even truckers would probably agree that truckers are crazy.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of them like to see the like you know when you're on a long road trip.
I think that wears off very fast.
I think for them
halfway through your first 300 mile drive, you're like having to like micro steer to stay in the lines because your truck is like twice as wide as
I
a lane.
I think definitely the insane part comes after the first couple hundred miles. Like the getting into it, I could kind of
there's
understand.
Like a corridor. Like the sane people that quit,
and
the insane
or they
ones
they do like
going.
The short route, like the day routes,
yeah. I mean, dude, like piss bottles
is a norm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's way too normalized.
Yeah.
Mm. Then throwing the piss bottle.
Do they do that?
Yeah. What do you think all the yellow Gatorade on the side of the road is?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought it was bad Gatorade because it smells bad. I figured it was expired.
You should have said it tastes bad.
I thought it was apple juice.
Yeah, it does taste expired. So they get paid well though, right?
I think they get paid. They
I don't
can.
Think so.
No,
you
the
can.
Harder the your producer is nodding.
Bobby, I know Bobby Duke.
I think it's like 75. It looks like you look like it could be a trucker. A mile.
Wow, Cord, do you want to be a trucker? You could be a trucker.
I play a lot of American truck simulators.
You play truck simulators?
I do, and they make like $10,000 on a cross country trip.
Whoa.
Yeah, but they have to like. they don't pay for their own truck. They have to pay for their own gas, yeah. their own maintenance.
A few hookers on yes. the way.
Yeah, well, those are basic. Lot lizards. Yes, and they're basically yes. free.
Is that the PC term still?
Lot I think lizards. Lot lizards.
No.
I don't think there's... I don't think...
Yeah, but at a pronoun.
There's not a nice way to say that.
I want to meet the person that gets mad at calling someone a lot lizard.
Excuse me, sir?
Pretty sure only a lot lizard would get mad if you call them a lot lizard. What do you want to be called?
Yeah. I'm a truck sex worker.
Yeah, truck sex workers. Probably the best way of saying that.
I'm trying to think like truck fucker.
Is that a DLC you can get in the truck sim cord?
Trucker fucker.
No.
That is accurate. That one is
yeah,
accurate.
I'm a trucker fucker.
Trucker fucker. I like that. Trucker uh-huh. fucker.
That
trucker
one's got fucker. A ring nah, to
dude,
it.
I think these women are doing God's work, man.
I'll take lot lizard.
You order something from eBay, who do you think is going to deliver it, right? And you don't want your trucker to be an incel. They can do some serious damage. Yeah. Drive a truck into some school or something, right?
You're actually right.
They've got to be like clear-minded.
Yeah, keep the balls empty.
The mind clear.
Yeah.
For sure.
Honestly, have you seen like...
Incels are not good for... Another thing about the benefit of going to Asia and finding a woman there, you know, we don't want incels in the society.
No.
It's bad. They shoot up schools and stuff, you know? Yeah. So I every time I hear like a school shooting story who's like some incel who's unhappy, I'm like, go to Asia, bro. One, you're white. They love white people there.
Do they?
Yeah, seriously. And because they just assume you have money, which they usually do, right? In comparison, you always have money. And then just go to Asia. That's why when I see a white incel, I get mad, you know? I'm like, that's a solution to the problem.
Not having opportunities does tend to make people be less, like be a little crazier, you know?
Right.
Like, I mean, they talk like in schools and stuff, like kids who have access.
I thought you want to say in Squid Game.
In Squid Game.
In Squid Game.
I mean, that's what I would, like if you give, I'm not saying this works every time, but like statistically when you have programs that like allow people to have some sort of identity or purpose where it's just like, you know, even if it's like, just like a robotics thing or sports or this or that, I feel like people are less likely to go fringe.
Go sicko mode?
Yeah. Agree. So I think there's something here.
Yeah.
I think that the government should fund a research.
Yeah. What are your guys' relationship status? You guys seem
Kevin's girlfriend? Probably legally married.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, what do you mean probably legally married?
No, common I mean law? Like we've been together for so long.
Oh, common
the
law.
The judge would look at it and basically say you're married.
Yeah, she would get half of my stuff if we.
She deserves half. She deserves.
Well, actually, I don't think
she deserves 3/4 of your stuff.
What kind of stuff do you have? Do you live around here?
I live nearby.
Oh, okay. Kevin lives 20 feet away.
He lives in the next dumpster over.
People still don't know. They still comment like. Are you like Will's neighbor or something?
Sort of.
This is a fun little commune you have going on.
Yeah.
I love it.
We got tractors. We have an excavator.
Yeah.
We have a little janitorial cart.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
There's an Acura.
We got to film a proper YouTube video sometime. You know, I was thinking you like the machine stuff. I always wanted to make like a robot or something that can make fried rice. Oh. I almost got to do something with the Stanford Robotics school, the group, right? They had a fried rice machine that can do a wok toss and stuff. But then Stanford wouldn't let me film with them.
I could turn my Tesla coil into an induction wok cooker and it would like make your noodles play music as you cook them. The pan would vibrate and sound like music.
That's okay, cool. That could be cool.
Wait.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Cook with a Tesla?
Yeah, Tesla coil.
I feel like it would taste like shit though.
No, because like, it's just an induction cooker.
Oh, just the
cooker.
Induction.
Yeah. You're not putting the rice on the Tesla coil.
Oh.
But what else? You can't just be that, right? I think there needs to be another layer of technological advancement.
There was someone at OpenSauce at the event because like people bring their science projects, basically, that made shrimp fried rice. So there was a shrimp in an aquarium and there was a camera pointing at it. And then there was a wok, an electric wok that had a motor.
Live shrimp.
Yeah, a live shrimp. So it was looking at the shrimp and wherever the shrimp moved, it would like stir it in the same way. So the shrimp was controlling the wok.
So it was a shrimp fried that rice.
Shrimp was cooking.
This guy really took it to the next level. That meme.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sure you know some people from OpenSauce who can create something. There'll be a good video for both of our channels.
We can do it. That's what we do.
That's what you do?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. You seem busy with, you know,
That's what we used to do. That's what we used to do. We don't do it anymore. Yeah. That's what, in my head, I tell myself, yeah, I do that stuff.
Yeah, I was looking at your main channel today. The last video was 4 months ago. I was like, all right.
That's not so bad.
That could be worse.
Once you're past six, maybe it's bad. But as long as you're under that.
Oh. Okay, maybe the science YouTube world is a different cadence.
It's not. Not really. No, we shouldn't think this way, but that's just what we tell ourselves to feel better.
And you guys are all also YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
Nice, cool. I'll check out our channels.
I wanna hear your bad food.
My bad food.
Do you have like a guilty food? Do you have like what you used to cook? When did you get into cooking?
I was always into food, and I think it's impossible to grow up in Asia without being into food.
Why?
And because eating out is just so common. Food is so abundant everywhere. Every street corner, there's a street food stall, a hawker, and everybody has a pride about it. And that's how we socialize. We never go out to just drink. Even if we go to a bar drinking, there's always food on the table. And then that's all we do when we hang out. Lunch, dinner, it's just eating, eating, eating. Especially Malaysia is, I think, the best food country in the world. You know.
Is everybody fat?
Everybody says
that. Yeah, we're getting there because we used to be a more agricultural, developing country. So people are on their feet working all day. But now we're more developed. So people have white collar jobs. They sit down all the time. Uh-huh. But the diet hasn't changed.
Okay.
It's a very high carb, high fat, high flavor diet. Yeah. Oils and grease.
A lot of alcohol too, or?
Some people. And the culture around drinking is great too. People are proud of how much they can drink. It's the opposite of California. They're like trying to cut. Everybody's trying to cut down. It's like, I know I'm more fun when I'm two drinks in, and so are so are most people. You know what I mean? So I think and to me, alcohol is also part of the food. You know, you have a nice French meal, you want a nice like Premier Cru, a Grand Cru,
the right pairing.
What's your alcohol choice?
Anything that's good. I love sake. I love wine. If I'm in Europe, I drink wine more. If I'm in Japan, I'm sake.
What about beer?
I love beer. Whiskey and the highballs and the
highballs.
Strong zero.
They're like that big, and there's like, what's it, 9%?
Yeah. So it's like double the strength of a beer, and you can get them in double cans in Tokyo. So it's like a one double can. It's got the equivalent of four beers in it.
Yeah.
And fucking the other Nigel tanked one of those like all at once right before we did dinner. And you could watch him gradually become drunker. And
he
drunker
got really red
like,
too. He has the flush really bad. Right?
Yeah. Asian flush. But it's so drinkable though, the highballs. Yeah. In Japan, they call it whiskey highboru. And they won't understand you.
With water sometimes they call it mizuwate.
Whiskey water.
And it's so delicious, so drinkable. It's like a fizzy drink, like a soda.
Yeah, it's like almost like a summer refreshing kind
of. So I like all kinds of foods. I'm not the biggest fan of olives. That's the only thing I can think of, but I still eat them. You know,
the green olives or black olives.
I prefer both. The green ones.
Okay.
Yeah. You ever do like baijiu, like the Chinese
baijiu,
white
yeah, yeah. Oh. The Chinese restaurant. Yeah. It's
harsh. I've never had it.
Oh,
it's
like, I love it. Had it.
No. Alan keeps mentioning it. But I want to try it.
Every alcohol makes you go. Like this,
right? Yeah, baijiu is it's you're drinking strong, like fuel for a truck.
Yeah,
but baijiu,
like Optimus Prime drinks.
Like, what's it made out of?
And he's like, I'm fueled up and ready to go.
Rice? I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I don't know what baijiu is made out of. But with certain Chinese dishes, because they're so strong, it cuts through and it kind of gives it a bit of clarity.
Yeah. Which alcohol do you think would be best to cook rice in?
I think sake, because it's made of rice, maybe.
Like rice and rice.
Well, actually, they actually do rice infused with sake. So that's already kind of a thing. Sometimes.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's probably dangerous. That reminds me of the alcohol we infused with, or the cereal we infused with alcohol.
I don't know if I call it an infusion. When you cook it, just cereal sitting in alcohol.
When you cook it, the ethanol is all evaporated anyway.
Oh, we didn't cook our cereal.
We do it in a vacuum.
Wait, so what is this cooking? Tell me, what was this?
What do you mean? Cooking rice?
No. This story about you cooking with alcohol.
We made cereal. So we saw which alcohol was best with cereal. So we took milk and we mixed the milk with alcohol and then we poured it in different cereals. And we had to rate them.
Okay, which one was the best?
It was probably the one
that like you're supposed to put in the dairy.
Yeah, Bailey's was almost like milk, right?
Yeah. Jägermeister was not as bad as we thought it was.
I think it was the gin and the frosted flakes was pretty good.
Okay. Well, some of them are really bad.
That was all drunk afterwards.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose channel did this video sit on?
The podcast.
Yeah.
It was this one. It was one of the extras.
I can't believe Tom Scott came all the way here to do this. You know? For me, fine. I'm like a nobody, the YouTuber. But Tom, you got Tom Scott.
He's been on twice. He came back for seconds.
Yeah. He's so burnt out. He's almost crying, and you made him drive all the way
this
here.
This was the final straw. That was,
you made him
like
quit.
This took it out of him.
He's like, fuck this. He had to like strap himself to a helicopter to fly away from you guys. Respect though. I don't know how he does it once a week.
He, I think that's probably why he is retiring, is because it was like his whole existence. Like he was literally like living out of a suitcase.
Really?
Yeah.
He had traveled so much.
Yeah. From what you know, we talked about, he basically had been kind of like, he hadn't gotten a new place since essentially like finishing school.
Where does he live?
I think he's in the UK somewhere.
Yeah, he had British accent.
And so he literally just like barely ever went. Like he didn't really have like home because he was always like he had to always be traveling around the world.
Wow.
He's got some good travel tips though because he's done it so much.
Oh.
There's like certain plane tickets, something we talked a little bit. There's like it's called Star Alliance.
Yes.
And I'd never heard of that before, and I looked it up, and it's like you can book flights all the way around the world, and it's still expensive, but it's way cheaper than it would cost to like do them individually.
Huh.
And you can do like business class for like significantly cheaper than it would be otherwise.
That's cool.
But you still have to, you know, basically fly around the world.
I love it.
You can only
stuff,
go in like one direction too.
That's cool.
You like can't backtrack.
I'm
a big fan of Tom. Yeah.
I want to hear your dirty food secrets.
Oh, I'm struggling to think about stuff. There's nothing like that bad. Guilty stuff. I don't have guilty stuff. If I enjoy it,
Frozen food.
I work with this dumpling company, Mila. They do frozen dumplings. They ship to you, and they're really good. I do eat frozen food, but I only eat the good stuff.
Good frozen food.
Yeah, I wouldn't do a frozen pizza.
Like, not a Hot Pocket.
Kevin loves Hot Pockets.
I've had it before. It's sugar. It's a candy almost. It's so
You're
sweet.
Right, it is.
Yeah, but it's got
the
bread.
The cheese is so sweet.
Okay, I've got a question. It's not food. All right. Mm-hmm. I've never actually been able to do like a convincing like stereotypical Asian accent.
You grew up here, you know.
Yeah. But do you have any pointers for how to like do that accent?
Well, what I do is like a hybrid between like Malaysian-y accent and then a Hong Kong-y accent.
It just
comes naturally. If I do full Malaysian, because we have a lot of slang words we use, so I you know, it's hard to do, but I think it depends. Asian, there's so many different types of Asian accents, though.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like a mainland Chinese accent is different from a Hong Kong accent.
And so
they all sound
yours
the same
is like me. Like primarily like Hong Kong Malaysian kind of a mix.
Yeah. So that it's very staccato. It's very the pitches go really high and really low in quick succession. And even when I speak normally,
how do you do this?
Yeah.
This is the only time everyone here is allowed to do
this. I'm doing Uncle Roger. I'm not doing country.
It's like,
when
you learn a language, I feel like people are like, you try to really enunciate, right? Like when you learn Spanish, it's like you really have to like almost exaggerate to get the sound.
Hola.
Hola. Like me llamo Guillermo. And so you're like, you have like yo no hablo español. Yo quiero. You know, it's like you kind of like, you like really greatly exaggerate. I feel like there's a kind of a lot of that where you like you almost try to say the words perfectly
there's that perfectly, and then the American accent sometimes you pronounce it like correct, like the word correct, you kind of don't say you just kind of breeze over correct is the emphasis.
I've always heard
correct.
Like right, you know, erect? Teaching people American is like you kind
erect.
Of slur, like
erect.
You're
I am always erect.
Correct.
I'm 100% erect.
So it's like
direct, right? But if I were doing Uncle Roger, I'll go just direct, correct.
Oh, so it's
emphasize
like you,
every single syllable has the same amount of emphasis.
Just be correct. Yeah, in like turns into just be correct.
Just be correct. You know, every syllable has the same amount of emphasis.
Yeah, but you like slur it in like in English. It's like just be correct. Yeah. Just be
just
correct.
Be like a correct.
I just be correct.
That was good. That was great.
Just be correct.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I never been able to
get any there. Yeah.
It's
so good.
I only can do LL Governor, and that's the best one I can do.
I'm
that
offended.
One's really good. The British ancestry.
Can you do a redneck accent?
give me a sense to say. It's hard. I have to practice in my stand up act. I have certain lines where I do an accent, but then I just have to continuously practice that line.
Get your dang booty in the Ford and go get me a six pack.
What the hard. Fuck?
We're trying to think of what you say is a redneck.
A typical American would say. Yeah. Oh, redneck.
Booty. Get your dang booty in the Ford. I can't do Ford.
Get
your dang booty in the Ford and get me a six pack.
That was pretty good. That was good.
Dang booty in the Ford and get me a six pack.
If I close my eyes, I feel like I'm in the South.
Yeah.
Get your dang booty and get me a six pack. It's almost like your mouth gets a little mushy. Right?
Yeah.
Me a six
southern
pack.
Accent.
Drawl, the Florida laziness. Drawl. Well, I say that I can't even do it, so you know, don't take advice from me. But being good at accents is such a blessing in comedy. It's a skill I'm working on, and I have taken American accent coaching classes before because I do. I'm starting to do a bit more acting stuff, and a lot of the times they want an American accent. And it's so difficult. It's so many little things that I don't even hear. I'm doing my normal accent is like a mixture of like a bit of Britishness, a bit of Asian, a bit of American.
Huh.
But when we do the accent classes, they're so like the word was, W-A-S, you say was. It becomes a Z, right?
Yeah, was.
Yeah.
Was.
Yeah, she was. And then it's was, not was.
Can
was.
Yeah, I feel like Uncle Roger would say like wah. Like you'd,
yeah,
you,
was.
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 Like,
no, wah. Uncle Roger would just drop the infinitive. Really? He wouldn't say was, you know. I was walking. Uncle Roger walking to store. Instead of Uncle Roger was walking to store. You know, Uncle Roger would drop the infinitive.
Wait, so can you say like, let me speak to your manager in like American accent?
Let me speak to your manager.
Manager.
Let me speak to your manager.
Do you take credit cards?
Excuse me, do you take credit cards?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I have to really speak to your manager.
Do you take credit card?
The F vowel, manager. It's a very American sound that, you know, I don't usually do it in my normal accent.
I feel like I can only like think about this in sort of how I've learned Spanish, where you kind of like, you know, all the key words and you know how to generally put them in the correct order so somebody knows what you're saying, but you miss a lot of like sometimes like the in between words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, I want this, or like, I like, you can kind of say like,
it's like you're speaking Russian in a Spanish accent.
Yeah. Like you're sort of just, you're saying enough of the words so that the person who's listening to you knows what you're saying, even though you're saying it kind of like almost like a bit of a shortcut.
It's like me bathroom.
Yeah, me bathroom. Yeah, no, like seriously.
Like, I shit. I am shitting.
Me shit pants.
I also don't know how to conjugate the verb, so just like I shit. Yeah.
I shit now.
I shit now.
Four.
Shitting.
Like I'd be like, ¿dónde está agua? Like, where is water?
Right, yeah.
Where I'm like, that's not really the question I want to ask. Yeah. Like, where can I get water?
You have to find the closest, the only words you know.
Right, yeah.
But if you're limited vocabulary.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning a language is hard, man. I highly recommend people to not do it. Because
I'm so glad you went there. Yeah. I thought you were going to say something
life
else.
Life is too short. My girl's American. She's from Miami, and she keeps asking, oh, can you teach me Mandarin? I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Life is too short. You're not going to learn it.
Yeah.
You know? Why don't you read Mandarin literature instead? Like, know how people think. You don't really need to know how their language works. You can just know how they think and what their history and culture is, you know? I prefer that. That's why I used to, in university, read, like, literature, like, translated literature, and I had a good time doing it, so.
Yeah, I think I just am not interested enough in spending the time it takes to become, like, proficient. Like, when we were in Japan, we were, like, Nigel's trying to do other Nigel.
Oh, yeah.
Nigel Red.
He was, like always listening to, what was he doing? Which one?
He was, like, Duolingo, or some kind of, like.
Have you seen that bird, Duolingo's TikTok? It's fucking unhinged.
Oh, dude, unhinged. Yeah.
I don't really know what they do, but I do. I've heard it's unhinged.
Yeah, it's just giant bird, like, playing pranks on people. Uh-huh. That giant Duolingo bird.
The idea is that like the bird is like it will do whatever it takes to make sure you keep up with using the app,
uh-huh.
And so it sometimes acts very kind of like aggressively or maliciously, where it's like this thing that stalks you.
Stalking, yeah.
Yeah, where it's
and
like
stuff.
Like you will open the app and learn a language, motherfucker. I'm gonna kill
or I will
you.
Actually murder
yeah,
you.
I will actually
I
kill you.
I need a restraining order against that bird.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the vibe that they're going for.
Put something on his ankle.
Because like that was the meme, and they just went with it.
Yeah. Put a bell on it so I can hear when it's close by.
No, because then at night you just hear the bell everywhere, but you can't see anything.
With
that
big ass eyes looking at you.
Ooh, have you done your street today?
Ooh, I'm gonna kill you, motherfucker.
Yeah, Nigel.
They say it in Spanish.
Oh, fuck.
Yo
quiero kill you.
A la noche.
Cabrón.
I think anyone who speaks Spanish knows what I was trying to say.
I don't fucking know. Jesus. Well, that's okay. We're all canceled.
You are going to. See, tu estás is like you are. And then I'm trying to say the future tense, but I think that.
Conjugate is right.
The future tense was like one of the last things that we did. I don't really know how to do a future.
Well, then shouldn't it be more recent? You should remember it better than the older stuff?
No. I mean, yes, but no.
I don't think there's much cancel culture in the science community, right? People get it that, you know, the process of experimentation.
No.
Or do people cancel people too?
It happens.
I mean, it just people.
Who is your Harvey Weinstein?
Well, the thing is, Mark Rober.
Mark Rober.
I feel like everyone in the science community is generally smart enough to not.
Yeah, it's really not political either. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no hot takes. It's kind of just like I built something. It's like any side can use my rocket knife. I don't care.
Yeah. It's usually, I think it's for the most part better than other communities. I think it's because it's sort of like
goal oriented.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like more like focused on drama.
It's like as long as you, it doesn't really matter what your background is if you can do it. Like if you build a sick ass Tesla coil, it almost doesn't. Like it's almost because like the people are sort of more interested in the Tesla coil than the person. So it like kind of doesn't matter.
You're sort of making your own problems to solve. Like it would be trying to like, you know, like invent a new dish, like the, you know, or like the best way to cook something, you know, or like something seven different ways.
Nobody comes up with like, I built my own Tesla coil and I'm trans, you know?
No,
I mean, there's a lot of trans people who build this kind of stuff, but it doesn't really like, it doesn't really matter for the thing.
There's a lot of
trans engineers and
scientists. And furries.
Nice.
And furries.
Yeah, that's the one that's always kind of, I don't really understand what
and
that
they're all like,
is.
They all do IT and tech stuff too.
Yeah.
And
there's
programming.
Like a lot of really smart people.
But that's cool that's so cool that, you know, like their identity, their gender is not the whole identity,
you were a data scientist.
Oh yeah, we love that stuff. Ask me more about that, you know.
You were in the world.
It's different though. Data scientists, tech feels very different from science. Tech has a lot of people who are just there, you know, not they're just there, but they love tech, but they also love the money and the prestige.
Tech bros.
Yeah, tech bros. Yeah, but science feels more like you guys genuinely love this shit and are happy to be broke just doing this.
No, I like money too.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah, we tell ourselves we're in the dumpster by choice because the other option makes us feel bad.
Yeah, we do the dumpster set is to make people believe that we don't have any money. We definitely definitely do actually have lots of money though. Yeah.
we spent a lot of the safety third money on the trip to New Zealand.
I almost feel
like that most of it was for like one of the Airbnbs at the last leg of the trip was nice.
I don't know how much
it made me fucking furious that people can just live like that. Like that's someone's house that they're putting on Airbnb.
Yeah.
They could just live there if they wanted to.
You guys could live there if you wanted
to. They probably have something better.
That's like their vacation house in Queenstown.
Queenstown feels like their like kind of snow town.
It's like Gatlinburg or like, I don't know.
What's the one in Colorado? Aspen?
Aspen, maybe?
But it was just ridiculous. Like the enormous windows and the view and like it made me mad.
I think I've come to this conclusion that the nicer the house is, the less likely somebody lives in it. Like if they can, like the more expensive a house is, it's probably something that someone who's so wealthy is buying as like a second or a vacation home. Like nobody buys like
I see like a $5 million house to live in. Like, I swear to God, there's something about a house in that price range that people have like so much money. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, like, they just need to park it somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and diversify.
Like, it's not even about living there. They just like, I don't know. Because when we lived.
That Airbnb was definitely not a house. It was,
no.
It was built as
totally
an
vacation home.
Mm. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it used to be, but now it's just an Airbnb.
Why was it nice? How was it nice? Have you covered this on previous episodes?
No.
No, and people will... Like, one of the episodes... Oh, wait, was that the lost episode?
It was like, yeah. It was like way up on the hill, overlooking this beautiful canyon. You could see the harbor
really
and the boats and the
happening.
Town down there. It was just like way up there. It had like this big panoramic window.
Nice.
You could see the sunset coming over
so
the mountains.
So everyone will not actually
like
see that
really,
episode.
Really,
really
cool.
Something bad happens.
That sounds great.
It was like, you know, kind of up the mountain, so it took like... You know, 10
like
or 15
segmented.
Minutes to
yeah.
like just like, from like this off street to get up there.
It was what would you call
worth the drive though.
Like yeah, yeah, definitely. Looking, I mean, well, I'm not complaining. I'd
like
there.
The style.
I'd never seen this before, but it had two sliding doors that met at an inside corner.
Oh,
and wow. So you could literally like, there's no post or anything. So it's like the house,
the doors like catch on each other. It's like the doors like pull.
Right. It was like an L, right? So you had like this was kind of like a patio area here, and so the house is like this. The sliding doors would like retract that way and that way, and so the corner it would just like the corner opens.
Oh, I never thought about that. How do they do that? Because that's like
they just spend like probably I mean I bought a door. And a double door, and it was like absurd. I actually was like, "Fuck doors! I don't want doors.
No more doors,
dude." There's thousands of dollars.
We're going
for doors.
Open
that sliding door buying here, I can only imagine that costs like $15,000 to $20,000.
I think it's more. I think
it could be more.
Exterior
too.
Doors too, definitely more, and big ass glass.
Yeah, and then right? Engineering the overhang of the roof without the supports in the middle.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's got to be like.
There's no low bearing wall.
Big beam.
How do you do it?
Just a big ass beam.
It was very nice.
Money. It's just like you just stack up money and it just like
you build the house out of money.
Uh-huh.
People, you guys should just go live there, man. Like, why? What's keeping you here?
The dumpster.
Citizenship, I guess.
Yeah, there's that too.
Let's be an illegal immigrant, you know?
I would
move. That'd be cool.
You know, it's...
I don't speak.
It's hard to do that. They really don't like... Other countries really don't like random people coming into the country. The U.S.
Some
doesn't like
do.
People coming into the country.
You have
even
to
their
have
own
people
citizens.
Come into the country.
Yeah, you guys have a slowly declining birth rate.
Yeah.
You guys have
I'd move. I'd go to like Argentina or something.
No, I don't think you want to go there. That one's pretty bad right now, I think.
That's
my very small.
Where all the Hitler clones are?
Yeah, that's the one where they've got like crazy inflation right now.
Oh.
No, I think Argentina is like maybe a bit of a disaster right now.
Yeah, we'll see how the next few years pan out, man. But like, you know, if I want to pull a Tom Scott and retire, I'm just going to sell everything I own and move back to Asia and live the rest of my life.
I'd go to Asia.
Have you talked about your restaurant?
It's cheap.
I'd live there.
Your restaurant? Have you talked about your restaurant?
My restaurant? Oh, we haven't started it yet. We don't have to talk about it.
Okay.
We're still in the negotiation contracts.
All right.
Do we have to cut that out?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're starting something in Malaysia soon. Oh, you heard it here first, people, on the Safety Third.
Wow.
I don't even know how many people, what the crossover is.
Oh, we don't publish this. This is for us.
This is our personal private videos. probably like 10 million people.
could you retire right now if you wanted to? Like, if you want to right now, if you sold off everything and moved back to Asia,
oh, that might be cheating.
Why? I mean, it counts because
I'm from there, man.
Yeah,
you know, I don't mind.
Yeah, like, I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure any of us, if we moved to the right place, could retire.
But
this is not the right
place. At a reasonable level of, you know, a quality of life that you're happy with. I think at this point, if I go to Asia, you know, Malaysia or nothing too rural and nothing too cheap. If I were just myself, yes. But life, you know, I have a girlfriend. I would like to start a family someday.
Well, why not just retire? You can retire right now. Just do it.
Yeah, dump your girlfriend and retire. She's what's holding you back.
Dude, I don't know what pill this is. It's not the red pill.
Kevin's got like the yellow pill over here. Kevin's black pilled.
He's like the Andrew Tate of the group.
It's whatever pill is hidden in the back of Kevin's molar that he bites down into when he wants to die. That's the pill.
It generates intrusive thoughts when I bite down really hard.
I think if you retire at the wrong point in your life, that maybe that's a bad thing. Because I think there's something nice about like having you kind of like you have to do stuff. Yeah. Like
no,
you
know what? Just something you enjoy. Yeah, like, I love my career and my work. Yeah. You know, 90% of the stuff I love. 10% of the time when I have to take meetings with my accountants, yeah. I'm like, oh shit. But most of the time, I love the stuff I do, and also life is better with other people around. Yeah. You know, so yeah, it can't just be me. It's a depressing existence. I've lived that before. On tour, it's just me
yeah.
because
oh yeah,
I, on tour yeah, I yeah. open Uncle Roger is my opener.
Yeah.
So I don't even travel with a opening act. You know, save some money that way.
Do you like run and hide and like change and then come back?
No, we have intermission. If an intermission.
Oh, so it's like not like a Smeagol Gollum thing where it's like you just intercut back and forth.
Or like a magic show, like you pull up the curtain and then suddenly
there's a big mirror. Whenever he's facing the mirror, he's in.
No, but my during my tour, I was just traveling by myself all over the world, man. Like from Jakarta to Helsinki to Toronto, everywhere.
Jesus.
But yeah, it got very lonely.
Yeah, going back to your hotel room and like all alone is kind of sucks.
I like going back to the hotel room and just farting, just fucking letting it all out, you know? Just fucking you let out the wettest, fucking longest fart you've ever had your entire life because you've been holding it in all day in front of other people.
I'm proud of you for being willing to share.
No, yeah. That's how it works.
You gotta lay off that Allen Pan sandwich. Peanut butter sandwich,
the
man.
Pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Intoxicated fucking, cold, dead
hands. But my intoxicated dead hands, a 40 and a jar of peanut butter and a loyal dog. That's all you need in life.
I don't think you need the peanut butter if the dog is loyal. Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah,
this is a good good. We're at a solid hour and a half, and we cut out maybe all nice. The blowjob shit. And
well, that's pretty good. Audrey decide. Yeah.
We let the trucker decide.
Yeah. Anything you wanna like promote or talk about, or
when would this come out?
I don't know.
I think this will be out in about 2 weeks.
Two weeks. Okay.
Ish.
If you live around the Los Angeles area, I have two live shows as part of the Netflix It's a Joke comedy festival coming out. I'm just hosting, so I'm not like doing a full show, but feel free to come to that May 7th and May 9th in LA. Apart from that, just follow my social media at Mr. Nigel Ng. My last name is spelled NG. So go find that. My Uncle Roger videos, I talk about food and I just complain and review in a hopefully humorous way. That's it.
Really. You can watch Mr. Roger roast my dollar store pad thai.
go search Uncle Roger William Osman. You'll see that. You'll see that. It's funny.
Did you get worried when you first saw that or no?
Get what?
Worried when or did people send you the?
Somebody sent it to me. That's why I was like, oh, this is funny and interesting and unhinged. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it.
Like the my tamarind filter in my jacket.
Yeah, you just mixed it in there. And then I came to your house today. I'm like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. Not surprised. This is the vibe. This is the vibe. You know.
Oh yeah, so there'll be links. We'll put links in the description. The word of the show.
Are there patrons right now?
Oh
are
my
there,
god, patrons
of
people
a
that
list of Patreon
that,
people
that have
right
been
now?
Flying.
Yeah, we got this entire time. We literally spent all your money going to New Zealand. Thank you guys.
It was a really nice Airbnb.
Actually,
for the last few days. Yeah, there's still some money.
Whatever we
and thank you in particular for your subscription.
Can we afford that? Can we afford?
No, we can't.
Nothing actually just after your fingers.
Are you trying to pick a name?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have gags with the names, but it costs money to pay an editor to do that, so I don't think we do it anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few weeks, maybe in a couple more, we'll start doing the end gags again.
We got to do a video soon.
Yeah.
Right?
What do you want to do?
Something. We'll discuss off air. Don't bore your patrons with this shit, you know?
Yeah. They love this crap.
Yeah.
It's like the how many raviolis, who can fit the most raviolis in their clothes.
How is that a full video, though? That feels like a TikTok, you know?
No.
No, that's a full video.
I think people would be, they'd want to watch the whole process of how I fit 10,000 raviolis in my outfit.
Okay. I didn't think about that. 10,000.
I don't know. I'm just assuming I could do that.
I believe in you.
You can make them really small.
I'll do that with you.
You could blend them up and maybe wear like a wetsuit that was like, you know, 5XL.
I was thinking like some sort of game show maybe where it's like there's like some tasks in between having to put raviolis in your clothes.
Mm.
So that way it's like the tasks get harder the more raviolis you have in your clothes. Maybe it's like a wetsuit. And so it like kind of holds them in.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right. We'll do it. I'll take a shower here after.
All right. See you guys next time.